sometimes I get up here and I'm here to kind of bring something from God, but God's been doing that himself this morning. So my role this morning is more about just making sure we don't lose what God has been saying to us. So first of all, Emily just talked about that principle and sort of process that we go through, and it tied in a little bit with what Craig said, which is as you look to Jesus, as you start focusing on him and you start concentrating, you take your eyes off the surroundings or the things that are concerning you, then it changes your perspective and it gets you in the right place. And as a result of that, you then start to realize that actually you need to let go of some of these things. And those are the things, that is the word that Claire brought, that God's just holding out his hand and saying, hey, why don't you give me that? The thing that you've been focused on, or the thing that's in pieces. I'm kind of known for putting things back together again. I do like sticking things together and getting things back functioning. And actually, what, you know, there are times when as the kids were smaller, and you know, something would get broken, or even if it was just, you know, a Lego toy that was now in pieces, they come with those pieces to you to as a parent and say, can you put that back together again? And with God, he can always put it back together again. It doesn't matter what it is. The problem is we don't know him well enough to know that he can put it back together again. So we think we've got to get to the end of ourselves, and usually we've superglued our fingers together, we've stuck whatever it is to the worktop, we have made a complete pickle of it. And you see that quite often. You know, the Antiques Roadshow, they'll bring along a wonderful vase and they'll say, what happened here? Oh, well, that's where I tried to fix it. And they're saying, well, please don't. You know, there are experts who know how to do this, and that's not it. And that's the same with God. God's just saying, why don't you give me that and let me fix it, because I'm an expert. And we can do this together, and he will teach us and show us. And it's then that process of surrendering. And then as we do that, we see, again, what a great God is. We're so thankful for what he's doing, for how he's doing it. And so we come back to the beginning again. So there is a process. There is a repeating pattern of trusting him and giving things to him, and then seeing that he's trustworthy, and then giving more to him. And we go round and round. It's the same with any of us. The problem that we have largely today is that we are bombarded with information. Craig mentioned it, that that we are assailed with information. I don't know how true this is, but someone said that the amount of information that is in a weekend copy of the newspaper, I don't buy the weekend, the Times, the Weekend Times. It was mainly due to cap money. If any of you have done a Christians Against Poverty money course, you'll know that they like dealing with cash. And then they give you an allowance each to spend. And so it came to the first week of buying the newspaper, and Tanya said, well, it's not coming out of my allowance. And I said, well, it's not coming out of my allowance. That was the last time we bought a Times. It was 50p then. I don't know how much it is now for those who buy it. The allowance wasn't very much either, yeah. But now one of those newspapers contains as much information as someone in the Middle Ages would have consumed in their entire life. So every weekend we are churning ourselves through a lifetime's worth of information. That's before we've been on our phones perpetually and flipped through news continuously. That's more before 24-hour news, Tim. And Tim's mostly to blame because he retweets every news article that goes. So, I mean, you're part of the problem as well as the solution. It feels good at the time, but it's a little bit like eating continuously. At some point, you've got to stop. because it's not actually helping you. You've got way more than you know or can even conceive of what to do with. And so we find ourselves in this position that we come here, another week has slipped by, and if we're not careful, I'm going to dump another load of information, which you can barely take, onto you in the hope that in some way it's going to change us. And that's not how the process works. God has designed us very simply, and it's good to return to that. When you went to school, the school teachers here who can verify this, it started very simply. You started learning the shapes of the letters, A, B, C, D. Hopefully, if you were in English, that's what you were learning. And that took a while. It didn't just get flashed up on the screen. Here's the alphabet. Tomorrow we're going to do words. It was a slow, gentle, repetitive, over and over again. You drew them out. You saw them. You looked at them. You formed the sounds they made. And slowly but surely, you got an understanding of the alphabet. And then very slowly, you started to put together very small little words, and you learnt those, and you started to comprehend what they meant. And then, again, finally, you put those words together into sentences, and that took a long, long time. The problem is that we don't want to go at that speed because we're nice and grown up now, and we're adults, and we get it, and we just need information. But the information isn't working. The information is not turning us into disciples of Jesus. It's turning us into people who are just overwhelmed with the quantity of way. So I want to just recap quickly what we've been doing this year so far. And then we're going to talk together, because what we've tended to do is we've tended to weight the way we learn to the intellectual side of things. So we say, right, okay, we're just going to get the information and then we know it. That's not what the Bible talks about knowing. The Bible wants us to have knowledge which we can apply, knowledge which changes our lives, and then knowledge which, because it's ours, we can pass it on to someone else. That's the purpose of being a disciple. And at the beginning of the year, I threw out a challenge saying, you know, who are we following and who's following us? I have decided to follow Jesus in January the 13th. You've got to leave something to pursue something else. What Claire was saying, you've got to let go of things. You've got to go on that journey with God. You've got to change your focus. You've got to start talking with God, making it become an intimate journey with him of day to day. It's interesting. We quite happily sung "I Surrender All." That's a complete lie, isn't it? None of us are surrendering all. I mean, it's a good statement of what we want to do, but none of us have got there yet. What we should be singing is "I surrender a little bit, Lord, and help me surrender a little bit more, because I want to surrender a little bit more, because I want to continue going on that journey with you." On the 20th, what? It's not as catchy. Doesn't rhyme as much, that thing. Yeah, well, you know, that was the original edit, I think. And then they thought, let's just pare it down to "I surrender all." Yeah, yeah. Then, continuing in January, I talked about God being in the driver's seat. The Bible says, everyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driving seat, I am. That's what the message says. We've got to say, well, is God in the driving seat? Do we trust him enough to be in the driving seat? First of all, do we want to be a disciple? Do we want to be called by God? Do we want to go on that journey? The Bible doesn't recall whether Jesus called other disciples and they decided not to come with him. But certainly some of the people who spoke to Jesus throughout his work said, "How can I follow you?" And as soon as he gave them the criteria, they said no. Some of them said, I'm too busy. I've got things to plan. I've got things to do. I've got other things that I need to prioritize more. And Jesus just said, okay, that's fine, because he understood that until you've made that decision, there's no point. You've got to choose. And then you've got to follow through by surrendering your decision-making, your directions, the things that you're doing to the things that he's doing. We talked about last week about being transformed into his likeness, into living in his kingdom. There is two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and there's not the kingdom of God. And the problem is we've lived our entire life not in the kingdom of God. And the only hope we have is to allow someone who has lived their entire existence in the kingdom of God to show us the way. That's Jesus. Jesus has never not been in the kingdom of God. Even when he was on this earth, he lived in connection with God in the kingdom of God. So our only hope of being transformed and to learn those rhythms is to connect with him and to let him do it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, whenever you want to change something, there is a progression that you go through. First of all, you've got to choose. You've got to choose, this is something I want to do. I'm going to do something different than I used to do. Then it becomes very awkward. Any small change that you want to make, it's awkward to do because it feels unnatural. It feels not normal. It's something different than you've done before. And there is a naturalness to you. I was talking to Tanya about running, and Simon maybe can corroborate this. But there's ways of getting faster to running, and one of them is by making a longer stride, because every stride you make is you know, you're going further. So if you kind of lengthen your stride, you can, for the same amount of turnover of legs, you can go further. But it's incredibly difficult to do. And it feels completely weird. And if you take too big a stride, you're going to injure yourself because there aren't any muscles there because you're used to doing what you're doing. So it becomes very awkward. But through practice, continual repetition over and over again, you start to improve and then it becomes natural. And that is the process. You choose, it's awkward. You practice, you improve, it becomes natural. And so as disciples of Jesus, that's what we want to do. We want to choose. We want to ask him, what is it that he wants us to do? What changes does he want us to make? What things does he want us to surrender? And then we've got to do that over and over again, like Claire was saying. We've got to give it over and keep giving it over. And then finally we will improve and then it will become natural and then we start the process again. I'm going to give you one scripture and then we're going to, you're going to talk to each other, because you were so enthusiastic when Peter asked you to say hello to each other that I can see that you've got a lot of pent up wisdom to share with each other, okay? So in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles us, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In some, in the NIV, it says, my version, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. This one says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And actually, some others say, we do this by looking at Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right-hand throne of God. So it's never without Jesus. It's a decision made, I want to run this race, I want to be a disciple. That cloud of witnesses around us, they're not a crowd of people judging us. They're a crowd of people encouraging you. They're a crowd of people saying, you can do this. Sometimes on the Boxing Day run around Clevedon, the best bit is the shoot at the end. Rebecca, you're always there, you know. No, and you know that there are people there every now and again you know, hear someone shouting your name, and it just gives you that little spurt. Even if nothing happens, it feels like you can imagine chariots of fire going on. And, you know, suddenly your head lifts and you've got that little bit extra. That's what encouragement does. That's what this cloud of witnesses are doing. They're not saying tut tut. They're saying you're doing great. Keep going. Keep pushing on. Keep working at it. Keep going. And that's, again, you know, this world, as Craig said, it wants to push us and squeeze us into its mold. And it's not the mold of Jesus. It's the mold of something very different. But further on it says, don't grow weary or lose heart. Don't grow weary or lose heart. And those are two things that we can say. Sometimes we're just, oh, I don't think I can do this. And we lose perspective. It's always going to be looking at Jesus, being encouraged, choosing again, knowing that it's a slow process, but we'll get there. And it's not, and it's for our good. And it's going to make life better and better and better as we're transformed into his likeness.